When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, everybody. So I can't look at any of my photos from just a week ago because it's really bittersweet today because I think it was kind of nice when I was gone or okay.
And it was fine.
It was fine.
I got a little warm on my daily walk last week. Yeah. And then now I didn't even decide to take one today because I didn't want to fall on my butt.
Yeah, this is just like blah, blah, blah. But I did have a wonderful vacation with family and I did read 7 books.
Yes, so, the book report.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Grant has posted a link, so don't worry if you're not catching the names or whatever of what I'm saying. So, and I want to thank Chapter 2 Books. Sue sent me some advanced reader or ARCs, I think they're called, advanced reader copies. So these are books that that came out like this summer, most of them. And so anyway, they're all available. But the first book I'm going to tell you about is, this was a wild story. It's called The Hop, a novel. And it's by Diana Clark. And she's a New Zealander, a Kiwi, if you will. Roxane Gay was her advisor when she got her MFA from Purdue University.
Uh-huh. She's great.
And she wrote a book called Thin Girls that people might know. But this book, The Hop, tells the story of how a poor girl coming of age in rural New Zealand grows up to be a sex icon, the face of a movement, and a mother all at the same time. And I would, you know, put this in a, you know, it's a feminist novel with a powerful message because she does, and when I say she becomes a sex icon, she's a sex worker at a place called The Hop, which is a legal brothel in Nevada.
Kind of like the Bunny Ranch.
The Bunny Ranch, exactly. And anyway, but it is really interesting how the story is told from a few different people's perspective. It's also very interesting in light of the fact of, if you really think about it, and I guess I'd never really thought about it, but, you know, in America, like in the U.S., there might be 20 legal brothels, but it's estimated that there are 3 to 5 million sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
So people who do choose that work or want to do that work, or that's what their calling is, however you want to call it, they don't have a lot of safety, anything around it.
Oh, yeah. There's not really a regulatory governance
so
over that.
So it's a really interesting story to read, and it's so well done.
Is this set in modern times?
Yes, it's right in modern times.
I'm flipping through it, and like the way that it's laid out with the different narrators, it reminds me of looking through As I Lay Dying by William Faulkner.
Yeah.
Just like the different perspectives, the different characters. Oh.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed it. And Diana, she lives in Salt Lake City. This is her second book, but she's, I just thought it was a very effective piece of fiction that also like really made me think in a whole nother way. And I gotta say, it's kind of a sexy book too. You know, because
that's a bonus.
Yeah, that's a bonus. And I don't think I've ever read anything quite this frank, and I would consider it also a coming of age story.
Great.
So that is The Hop. Now, I'd never read, Julie and I are a fan of like, you know, William Kent Kruger, the Cork O'Connor series, you know, Lieutenant Stride, Brian Freeman. I had never read this author, Linda Castillo. She's a mystery thriller writer, and she has a character, a chief of police called Kate Burkholder. And Kate, this might be like the, I don't know, the 14th novel in a Kate Burkholder.
Yeah.
And she grew up Amish.
Author grew up Amish.
Well, no,
the character.
And so it's a story. This like 10 years earlier, this beloved Amish bishop disappeared without a trace, and then his skeletal remains showing evidence of foul play are unearthed, and then the appearance becomes more sinister, and the town elders go to Painter's Mill, Ohio, to ask Kate, whom they knows the Amish community, if off the record, because she doesn't have jurisdiction in Pennsylvania, if she can solve the crime.
Ooh,
it's very, very good. If you love your mystery suspense, again, interesting, the whole Amish thing I didn't know. And then I was like, oh, I got a new series to check out, Kate Burkholder, because I really liked her character.
And this character was the subject of a Lifetime original movie about a decade ago called An Amish Murder, and Kate was played by Neve Campbell.
Ah!
Wow!
So
I wonder why they didn't do more, because they've got a whole bunch of them.
Well, just waiting to be developed, waiting for Lifetime to call.
Yeah, and someone doesn't want Kate asking questions.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, of course not. But anyway, it was really, I enjoyed the Hidden One very much. So, and I like having a new character to follow. Yeah. Okay. Now this one, Holly, you will maybe relate to this one. This is called The Work Wife, and this came out in July. It's by Allison B. Hart. And it's about this gal named Zane Klein. She never planned to be a personal assistant to Hollywood royalty Ted and Holly Stabler. But decade in, at age 38, that's exactly how she spends her days, earning six figures to make sure the movie mogul and his family have everything that they could ever ask for and dream or more. And I'm dying laughing at some of, like, you know about being a personal assistant.
Yes.
In Hollywood.
Yes.
You become like the work wife.
Sure.
Everything.
Might have faked being a spouse once or twice to get things moving.
That's right.
Maybe.
Maybe have to do, I mean.
Over the phone, you got to get things done.
There's no ordinary day. And so it's kind of, it's a fiction, but it's contemporary. I would also put it in the LGBTQ queer adult category because of Zane's character and just the sex positive message. But she has to decide if the sacrifices she makes for the job are worth the moral price she has to pay. And it was just deliciously gossipy and Dumois-y,
into it.
And that was called The Work Wife. And then I've just got a couple more books. Actually, I've got like four more books to tell you about when we come back. The book report continues.
Yes.
So getting back to the book report.
The book report, yes.
So this was, this author is going to be on our show at the end of the month.
And fun.
This was kind of a juicy, fun beach read. It's called The Widow, and it's a mystery thriller political set in contemporary times.
So like anything else.
Yeah. Kara Rauta wrote this book called The Next Wife, which a lot of people read. And so this book is called The Widow. And Jody Asher and her husband, Martin, are like political icons. He's been a congressman from the same district in Ohio for like 35 years. He has secrets. She has no limits. And every chapter begins with insider tips for being a person's spouse or Senate. You know, what all the little...
Oh, the protocols
the protocol,
the decorum.
And
yeah.
All the perks and privileges. It's really kind of interesting. Huh. And I happen to read this book.
Are they fact-based perks?
Yes, I think so. Well, it'll be one of the things that we ask her. But, like, yes, about, like... you know, to take the elevator in the Capitol where they vote, only only the congressperson or senator can ride in it. You know,
the spouse has to take the back door.
But yet there are all these other things and what to do. And so that was really intriguing. An interesting thing. It's like he suddenly dies, the congressperson, and it kind of, what will the wife, what will the staffers, what will everyone do to try and get that power? Because there is power in being an elected official. And
so perhaps she's going to be running for office.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it was just so interesting reading this. I was reading that on election day. I was kind of glad that I was out of town because I wasn't sure what was going on. And then I was just so happy that the Gen Zers, who were probably raised by either Gen Xers or Gen Joe, whatever, but they saved our country's ASSS or whatever you want to call it by voting, being the biggest age group out there to vote.
Yeah.
Really amazing. Mm-hmm. Really amazing. And so it was an interesting book to read this because as the balance of power shifts, even in a relationship, it just...
Intrigue on an intimate level.
It kind of, it really was. And so Kara is going to be on our show on the 29th. And so we'll ask her. But to me, all these little these tips from staffers or congresspeople for spouses and stuff was really an interesting setup for each chapter.
Absolutely.
Okay. So then this book. Oh, my gosh. This book. This is for fans of Mary Higgins Clark. You really love your mystery suspense. It's called The Disinvited Guest. This came out also this summer by Carol Goodman. And it comes a group of friends. So it's like 2 years after COVID and another pandemic has hit.
Oh.
And some people have gotten super prepared. But what happens is that this group of friends go to this island in Maine, off of the coast of Maine, and the one guy is super prepared, but there's all this, I would almost say this is a suspense gothic, because this is an island where in like the 1800s, when the potato famine was happening in Ireland, and they would just... The tenant farmers were just getting rid of their tenants and putting them on boats. And a lot of them were crashing on these little islands. So there is some historical thing about all these little remote islands that became like hospitals. And anyway, but people start disappearing. So in that way, Agatha Christie.
Yeah. So people start disappearing on this island where they escaped this pandemic.
And now no one can help them, but it was a real page turner.
Is it a too soon book?
No, because the disinvited guest. The pandemic is quickly left behind in the sense that when mysterious, suspenseful
it is simply the catalyst for these folks to get to the island. Okay.
Like the island has a dark history that's coming down on everybody.
Oh no, are there ghosts involved?
Yes. Is the island haunted by the dead? You know, so I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed finding Carol is, Goodman is a prolific writer, and she writes these kinds of books. So I was happy to have a new author, and that's called The Disinvited Guest.
Thank you.
Yes.
Looking forward to that scary frightful.
Okay, now my serious book that I read, if you will, by a name author is I read Louise Erdich, The Sentence, which this book was actually published last November. I'll read the little set. A small independent bookstore in Minneapolis is haunted from November 2019 to November 2020 by the store's most annoying customer, Flora, who dies on All Souls Saints or All Souls Day. And of course, Louise owns the Birch Bark Bookstore.
That's right. I'm remembering this book when it came out last year.
And she simply won't leave the store. And Tookie, who's landed a job selling books after years of incarceration that she survived by reading everything she could get her hand on, must solve the mystery of this haunting while at the same time trying to understand all that occurs in Minneapolis during the year of 2020, George Floyd, all the, you know, furious reckoning, the whole isolation, everybody's grief and astonishment.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, if you've ever read any Louise Erdős, she's, and just, you have to go back and like, what did I just read? I have to read this sentence. It's so beautiful.
This is your literary fiction.
Yes.
Book selection from your book report.
But this book also has, you know, a magical realism to it that I don't know that Louise, you know, I don't know that she's ever written about that. I know she's a very, she always writes very profound mm-hmm. and emotional, you know, books, but I feel like this was, I don't think we've ever had a, like a ghost story.
And this is a ghost story.
It
the
is.
Sentence.
It is. The yeah. sentence. It is. And what do we owe to the living? What do we owe to the dead? What do we owe to the reader? What do we owe to the book? I will admit, at the beginning of reading the sentence, I felt like it was the sentence reading the sentence because it just took me a minute
oh, yeah.
to get into the setup of the story.
You have to absorb the rhythm. And if you're on yeah. vacation and not expecting to encounter some serious literary fiction, you got to shift your mindset.
But then I ended up, you know, reading it in a day, and I was just like, oh, that was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it was so good. It was lovely. Just so rich and wonderful. And then the last book I won't spend a lot of time on because we're having the author on this Wednesday, but Dinah Jeffries, who is, I would call it a historical fiction almost, but it's called The Hidden Palace, and it's a World War II story. And I guess the only thing historical that's in it that is true, the story is completely, you know, made up. This woman, and you know, runs away from her family because she can't, she feels like she will, because her father is German, that she's at risk to be picked up by the Nazis, or so she flees back to England where her mom lives, and her sister is in the meantime fled to Malta. Mm. And it was really interesting, the history of Malta in World War II, because it's this island 100 miles off of Italy, like 100 miles from Africa. So you're like, it's a British Commonwealth. Donnie Love was born in Malta.
That's right.
And
what?
Yeah. And if you ever get a chance on a cruise or ever a chance to go to Malta, when you sail into Valletta, you think you're sailing into a movie set because of the turrets, everything, the ramparts, the limestone that it's made out of. It's this beautiful. Look at any photos of Valletta, the Knights of Valletta or the Knights of something. Anyway, it's a cool island. So the Hidden Palace is all basically takes place in Malta in World War II with France and England as a backdrop. And it's just a wildly romantic a rift over generations, lie, betrayal. Oh,
lots of melodrama in beautiful settings.
Yes, but it's after the brutality of the war, and it's also during the war and how bombed Malta was, and just like what an interesting setting that is. And I get to the back of the book, and Dina's like, I wrote this book during COVID and I never got to go to Malta, but it's so well researched. And if you even just look at any photos of Malta, you'll see why you would just be.
Oh, it's very romantic.
Very extremely. Romantic. This is where Brad and Angelina filmed that movie tore them apart.
Oh.
And Troy was filmed in Malta.
It's gorgeous.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And yeah, I went there once on a cruise for a day.
Oh.
Anyway, The Hidden Palace. So we're going to talk to Dina, but I really enjoyed
Just a few days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just a couple days. So great. That's it.